Listen to this roster report for all the updates during the off-season. Hi, I'm Lori Baranski, and you're listening to another Roster Report podcast, the official podcast of the New England Patriots. It's Friday, February 9th, right here at Gillette Stadium, and we have Brian Lowe, Paul Perillo, Tom Casale, and Andy Hart speaking of all the latest transactions, including some talk of whether the Patriots will use their franchise tag.
Thanks, Lori. Another edition of the Patriots Roster Report as we move along in the offseason. Now, today is February 9th, and on February 8th, which was Thursday, was the first day of a two-week period in which Patriots and other NFL teams can place the franchise and or transition tags on their players. February 22nd is the deadline for that, and much like last year with Adam Vinatieri, there is definitely some intrigue with the Patriots and whether or not they will place the franchise tag on two players specifically, two of their free agents, cornerback Asante Samuel and tight end Daniel Graham. As far as cornerbacks go, the dollar figure for placing a franchise tag on a player is $7.79 million for cornerbacks, $4.37 million for tight ends, and basically what that means is when a team places that franchise tag on a player, the player can sign that one-year tender and be on the team will be on the hook for that figure, or the team and the player can come to an agreement on a long-term contract, or other NFL teams can sign these players to an offer sheet, and the original team can match it with a very hefty price to the if the team doesn't match it, a very hefty price for the new team going to the old team. So, as we talk about Asante Samuel, what are the thoughts around the room here on what the Patriots will do with Samuel over the next 2 weeks? Anyone? Paul?
Paul's nodding to me, so I guess I'm going first. I say franchise him. And I know he doesn't want to do it, and I would try to do it in a way that says this is just an insurance policy on our behalf, because I know from a player's perspective, franchise tag is like the first shot across the bow of a contentious negotiation. So I would try to sell it to them as we're just covering our bases. But you kind of mentioned Adam Vinatieri. There's an example. You could have franchised him. You didn't, and you lost the player. I know it was a money thing at that point because he'd been under a large contract and it reached the 120% of his previous year's salary and all that. But you had the ability to insure yourself at least the ability to match an offer with Adam Vinatieri, and you lost out in the end because of that. I don't think you want to go down that road again, especially with two guys when you have two premier free agents. So I would do it, but try to sell it as not necessarily a negative or a huge negative to the player.
Well, I agree with you from the team standpoint. Mm-hmm. But let me take the player's standpoint. Seven-something million dollars for franchise.
7.79.
7.79. So we agree that Samuel would probably get almost double that just for a signing bonus
on the
open market.
Yes.
So if you're Samuel, and I'm sure the agent, too, is telling him, listen, this is your time. You got to get out there now. Now, we saw Seymour hold out, even though it was briefly. We saw Deion Branch hold out. And I'm wondering, are these players now saying, hey, if you want to treat us like this, we're going to retaliate, and if they do franchise him, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think he's going to accept that?
No. He'll be upset if they franchise him, but as a selling point, I might actually use the Deion Branch situation and say, we just need to cover our bases here. So go out on the open market, find all the money you can, and then in the end, if you're going to be signing with that team and we're not willing to match, we'll work out a deal and we'll trade you.
Yeah, I agree.
Just like they did with Tabucky Jones, who was franchised. They ended up trading him for picks. And Deion Branch, who they ended up, not a franchise tag, but ended up trading for a first-round pick. So I would, again, I'm trying, and I don't know if this is a strength of Scott Pioli and Bill Belichick in terms of negotiations and communications with agents and players, but I'd be trying to spin this and keep this as a happy negotiation for as long as possible and tell him, again, we're covering our bases, but you have this option, you have that option, you have options in front of you. We're not trying to hold you back.
Yeah, I agree with Andy in that you do it, you place the franchise tag on him knowing or at least expecting there to be, number one, some disappointment on the part of the player, and number two, to be some contention in the negotiations. But you do it anyway, because you have to protect yourself. And I don't think there's any way that he is signed, that he re-signs before the 22nd. I don't think that makes really a lot of sense for the Samuel camp, because even if they knock him over with an offer that he can't refuse, he's so close to getting on the open market, he might be able to better that somewhere else. So I think that you just set yourself up to protect yourself, and that way, you know, I go back to Tabucky Jones, like Andy said, no one thought at the time, everybody, I remember the reaction around New England when Tabucky Jones was franchised was, what on God's earth are they doing? This guy is not worth, I think it was $3.1 million. It just tells you how much the money, the dollar values have changed in a short period of time. I think it was $3.1 million for a safety at the time, and then, you know, a month and a half later, they're turning that into three draft picks, and Jones went to New Orleans, and that was a good trade for the Patriots. I just think that, you know, obviously you're going to get a lot more for Asante Samuel than you did for Tabucky Jones. I don't think that they want to do it. I don't think anybody wants to have the franchise tag, but I think for the team, it's really their only bargaining chip when the guy is so close to free agency.
That was also a good deal for Tabucky Jones.
Oh, it's a great,
significant contract,
great
with the
deal
New Orleans
for Tabucky Jones.
So that was a case, again, you can point to as a player, say, you know, we franchised this guy, but in the end, we got what we wanted, some draft picks. He got a huge deal with the Saints, so it worked out for
everyone.
But
at some point, okay, great, you keep getting draft picks, but don't you have to have players too?
No, but you try to sign them.
Right.
But that's why you franchise him, so you have more time to sign him. That's all that time that he's franchised, he can't go anywhere. Well,
right.
He can technically, but no one's going to give him a contract in the Patriots'
two first-round picks.
But don't you think the Patriots, and I understand your point, and I agree with you, I think it'll probably happen, but don't you think the Patriots know pretty much what they have to come up with to sign him?
So, I'm not sure about that.
I think this is a volatile market
this spring.
I think
that
if you
it
asked
could
that
be ridiculous money.
If you asked that same question 3 months ago, I think it would be a totally different dollar figure than it is now.
Don't you think it could backfire on the Patriots, though? Say Nate Clements goes out and signs for an absurd amount of money.
Which he will.
And then here you are with Samuel. You did this so you could, you know, negotiate, and now you're sitting there, and he wants that kind of money. So,
but how
way,
does that backfire? Because Samuel's not accepting less money.
Right.
Right?
What do you mean?
Samuel's not going to sign for less money.
I'm saying
if you sign Samuel, you're going to have to do what you just said that Clements will do. If you want to sign him now and not let him get out in the open market, you're going to have to pay.
Yeah,
big
you're probably going to have to give him $20 million signing bonus plus and a $80 million
right,
deal.
Right, but my point is you're going to have to pay him big money somewhere along the line if
right.
you want to keep him here.
Right.
Right now, Asante Samuel is not going to sign anything.
Right.
Basically, anything you put in front of him, he says,
that's
well,
how
if they're willing to put
it.
This in front of me, imagine what the Redskins or the whatever
the
other
Broncos.
Team, is the Broncos, is going to put in front of me. So you've passed the point where you can sign him, I think.
And because
you have to try to cover your butt, and that's the franchise tag.
And because of the way the market is right now with so many teams having so many millions of dollars available, unless Samuel signs that one-year franchise tender, which is probably unlikely, he's probably going to be one of the top two highest-paid cornerbacks in the league come opening day, along with Nate Clements.
Probably.
And whether he deserves that to be one of the top two or not, that's probably what it's going to come down to, and we'll see if the Patriots are interested in doing that. Now, at tight end, we'll get into this more, I'm sure, in coming weeks, but Daniel Graham is also a candidate to be franchised, as we said, the $4.371 million for him, which might be seen as a little bit more of a manageable dollar figure for that particular player in that particular role if he were to accept that deal. I happen to think that there's a better chance that he comes to an agreement on a long-term deal, not necessarily before free agency begins, but at some point. I think there's a better chance that they sign him long-term than Samuel. That's just me. I don't know what you guys think on that, and if you think it's at all likely that Graham gets the franchise tag.
Well, I don't think he'll get the franchise tag, but I said this to Paul a couple weeks ago when I was reviewing the details of franchise and transition tags. I would transition Daniel Graham to ensure myself the ability to match an offer. And that's all it really is the right of first refusal. But the number is three and change, whatever the number is.
Well, it's 3.6. The transition tag, by the way, is the average of the top 10 salaries at that position, whereas franchise is top five. For tight end, it's 3.6 million.
I have no problem. You know, when you offer a guy a tender, he can sign it if he wants to. He can choose to just sign that and play that one-year deal.
Right.
So as a team, as soon as you offer it, it has to be cap space available, and you have to be willing to pay it.
Right.
I'm willing to pay Daniel Graham $3.5 million for 1 year just to ensure myself the right to match a contract that he might get on the open market. I personally think he's another guy who wants to get to the open market, wants to see what's out there, and if there's a decent offer somewhere,
right.
I think he might jump at it. So I'm not as optimistic as you that he's going to get a long-term deal done here. But I personally, just personally, I would slap the transition tag on him to at least give my chance, myself the chance to match.
And yeah, the big thing is the franchise tag, it's two first-round picks go to the original team if a new team signs. But with a transition tag, there is no compensation.
No compensation, just right or first.
And let's be honest, no one's going to give two first-round picks for Samuel.
For virtually any player. I mean,
for any player.
I mean, with the exception of, what was it, the Redskins did that once.
There was one?
No, there was. They were called the Dallas Cowboys, and it was for Joey Galloway.
Well,
that was an actual
trade.
That was an actual trade.
Oh, yeah, not a franchise.
I'm talking about for the franchise. I don't think anybody's ever signed
back in the first couple years. Maybe I'm wrong. I thought
you might be wrong, because I thought so too, Below, and I tried to research it and I couldn't find.
I don't remember any.
Okay, then I might be wrong. But let's just get a little bit more into the defensive backs. We started sort of previewing free agency last week with the linebackers. At cornerback for the Patriots, their cornerbacks aside from Samuel that are free agents: Ray Mickens, who they signed late in the season as sort of a fill-in, and then restricted free agent Randall Gay, and Rashad Baker at safety is a restricted free agent as well. So not a whole lot of, aside from Samuel, not too much to be worried about in terms of players bolting for other teams. The more the question marks at cornerback and safety have to do with injury situation, have to do with depth, have to do with a lack of maybe a number one cornerback. Any sort of assessment of the defensive backs at this point as they enter free agency? Do you see them, if Samuel ends up leaving, do you see them going after a guy like Nate Clements or someone else?
I doubt it. You'd have to give him probably
more money.
Than
to play in your system.
I think
you're
going to
throw money around. Play the guy that just proved himself in your system, throw him the money.
Yeah, exactly. I think Nate Clements is probably a better player than Samuel, but I think Samuel might be a better Patriot.
And
just
however you want to look at it, Clements, I think, is a sixth-year player, so he's more proven. Well, Samuel's a fourth-year player, is coming off his best year. Maybe by year six, he is hands down the best corner in football.
Right.
You don't know. There's that unknown there. The one thing I would say is a concern that people have raised about Samuel is, was this a push towards a contract?
Which you
have
don't have that fear
best?
With Clements.
Is he not going to work as hard?
He's been more consistent over his career.
You know, all reports are he spent more time this year in the film room and was a little bit more of a studious player. That's the one concern. If you're Bill Belichick, and you should know more about Asante Samuel than anyone, and you don't think that the hard work he put in this year would continue when you hand him $18 million, that's the one concern. But other than that, the guy has shown he is a very good cornerback in your system. So if you're going to throw money around, throw it to him.
Right. He's overachieved. He was a fourth-round pick. His role sort of expanded year by year. And you're right. The question is, he had an outstanding year. But is he an outstanding player long-term? That's the question that they
have to deal with. Clements has done it for
three or four years
so
now.
You say, he's a good cornerback in the National Football League.
Right. And with Clements, by the way, he was the franchise tag was placed on him last year.
Yep.
He signed that one-year deal with an agreement. I don't know if it was a written agreement or a verbal agreement
that they wouldn't,
wouldn't place it on him again. And I read something this week that he has said he will for sure enter the open market. He won't rule out re-signing with the Bills, but without question, as he should, he's going to wait until March 2nd and see what's out there. And most likely for a guy like that, there will
expected,
be money out there.
In some of the things about Clements, they're looking at Champ Bailey's contract, which was $18 million up front, $60 million and change over the life of the deal, as, okay, this is a good starting point. Let's talk in this ballpark here, and we'll go from there. So you're talking significant dollars for these two cornerbacks. And interestingly, one team we've already seen interested in Clements is the Washington Redskins, who would like to go after
him. Aren't they interested anyway?
Have asked seven or eight guys to restructure.
And that just shows you what the salary cap is.
Well, in some way. But they're asking guys to restructure, which means they're just pushing money
off again. Someday it'll catch up to them, but you can still move it around
until
that day is where you have to just totally reload.
It doesn't necessarily have to catch up to you if you can really work it right. If you can,
I can't imagine the Redskins are working it right.
No, but in theory, if you push it in the right areas, so you have dead money here, dead money there, but you have a fourth-round pick who's overachieving in only his second year here. You have another guy who's got under contract for 5 years at a relatively low rookie contract, a late first-round pick. If you make all those decisions right, you can kind of overlap your cards and make it play out. Now, again, it's the Redskins.
Right, you're speaking of a well-run franchise.
Right. I'm just saying, in theory, the restructuring, if you do it in phases
the
and
Colts
kind of stagnate
have been
it,
able to do it.
Yeah, then you can kind of push it off long enough and kind of ease your way through the whole.
And the other part that I agree with Tom on, that the whole salary cap thing, is we talk a lot about, it's like $26 million reportedly, the 20-something million the Patriots have. They're 15th. That means half the teams in the league have more space than they do.
Right.
So it just shows you that the percentage of the cap increase since that new CBA was put into place last year, it's going up to 109 and change or something like that. a lot of teams are going to have a lot of money, and that's why guys like Nate Clements and Asante Samuel may be paid more than Champ Bailey at this time a month or two from now.
Well, as we wrap up here, no changes, no transactions to the Patriots roster, but one quick note was that Matt Light was added to the Pro Bowl roster, left tackle replacing Jonathan Ogden, so he is out in Hawaii this week, as is the Patriots' entire coaching staff. And one note on that, be sure to check out Patriots.com, some exclusive behind-the-scenes footage of Belichick, Josh McDaniels, and the Patriots' coaching staff out in Honolulu with players like LaDainian Tomlinson, Peyton Manning. Some great stuff coming your way on Patriots.com. Be on the lookout for that.
What
so that's going
to
wrap
Pease?
Up. No, Dean Pease is there
what
too.
What did he ever do to you?
But I'm familiar with the fact that we have specific
Ew.
Footage of Josh McDaniels
there
interacting.
Is no Dean Pease.
Interacting. There will be Dean Pease maybe next week. Josh McDaniels.
And he knows a thing or two about these teases.
Josh McDaniels interacting with Peyton Manning, Bill Belichick interacting with LaDainian Tomlinson, stuff you're not going to want to miss. So be sure to check that out. That's going to wrap up the Patriots roster report for today. Let's go back to Laura.
Thanks, guys. Remember to keep checking Patriots.com for all the latest updates. Have a very happy Valentine's Day, and thanks for listening. Go Pats!